Immigrants in Salt Lake City urge Senator Hatch to support immigration reform. Activists call for Governor Herbert to stop trying to take control of federal land. And West Valley City Mayor Mike Winder says he won't be running for a second term. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, May 23rd. I'm Brian Grimmett. As the debate on immigration reform continues in the U.S. Senate, immigrants in Salt Lake City held a press conference and vigil last night urging Senator Orrin Hatch to support legislation that creates a path to citizenship and keeps families together. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Salt Lake Dream Team, immigrant young people who want a chance to earn their citizenship through college or military service. In their stories, what you hear are dreams deferred.
My name's Angelica de Leitzi Rodriguez Hernandez. My family and I moved to the States when I was 6 years old. Growing up, I always knew I was undocumented. I knew that I would later face hardships and limitations.
Rodriguez says her dream was to serve in the military. She looked into the Navy, the Marines, the Army.
I took their practice exam and I did really well, but the only thing that was holding me back was the lack of a Social Security number and a green card.
A grandmother stands up to say her family has been torn apart. She's taking care of her daughter's 5 children because her daughter was just deported. Then there's Sylvia Teresa Salguero, a mother of 3, who wanted to be a nurse but doesn't have the necessary documents. She still wants a college degree but hasn't been able to get a legal job to pay for her schooling until February this year when she found out she received deferred action status. With her new status, she can now work legally.
My will to continue my education, it's still inside of me. I'm 30 years old, soon to be 31. And I still feel like I have to. I need to. I encourage all of our Utah senators and representatives to help fix in a positive, more productive, and humane way the broken immigration system of this great nation, which I call home.
Participants at the event were asked to write letters to Senator Orrin Hatch, who supported the comprehensive immigration bill passed in the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier this week. But he is not committed to voting for it when it comes to the floor of the Senate for consideration. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Activists are calling on Governor Gary Herbert to halt Utah's efforts to seize control of federal land in the state. Educators, parents, and students gathered at Liberty Park Wednesday to ask state lawmakers to find realistic solutions to funding education and stop taking aim at public lands. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Ethan Lake is a senior at West High School in Salt Lake City. He says Utah is blessed with a beautiful natural environment.
Anyone who's been down to the White Rim Trail and seen the potash facilities also knows how easy it is for natural lands to be completely ruined by man-made projects seeking to extract short-term profits from something that should be protected for us all.
Last year, Governor Herbert signed House Bill 148 into law. It demands the federal government relinquish control of millions of acres of public lands to the state by 2014. And the state is currently in the midst of a legal dispute with the federal government over rights to thousands of paths and roads that cross federal land. Under the law passed, a percentage of the revenue generated by the state sale of public lands would be deposited in the state school fund. But Salt Lake City School Board member Heather Bennett says that's a farce.
It irks me that they would use public ed as a way to try to get more support for the seizure of public lands.
She says the state must explore new revenue sources that won't exploit Utah's natural resources, including raising taxes.
I very much believe that with open dialogue among the various entities, state, local, federal, we can come to best practices in land management that won't sacrifice the great heritage that we have in our public lands.
On Tuesday, Governor Herbert testified before a congressional subcommittee where he highlighted the federal government's inability to properly manage national forests and public lands, noting national parks have an estimated $11 billion maintenance backlog.
The concept of federal-state partnerships is becoming more and more like Bigfoot sightings, something frequently reported but rarely seen.
Roughly two-thirds of land in Utah is owned by the federal government. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
West Valley City Mayor Mike Winder announced yesterday that he will not run for re-election later this year, despite problems plaguing the city's police force and a scandal where Winder admitted writing articles under a pen name praising a city. He says he's proud of his tenure as mayor. KUER's Nicole Nixon reports.
Winder says the $35,000 annual salary he receives as mayor is not enough to provide for his family, and he'll be looking for a better-paying job when his term ends next January. He says West Valley City's economy blossomed on his watch.
You look at the Valley Fair Mall, you have the number one Olive Garden in North America. You have the highest tech movie theater in the country. You drive to the west, you pass the brand new Embassy Suites Hotel, the new Granger High School.
In 2011, Winder admitted that he was also Richard Burwash, the pen name he used to write articles touting the successes of West Valley City. While the scandal didn't result in Winder leaving office, he did lose his other job in public relations. Recently, the West Valley Police Department is trying to recover from dozens of drug cases being dismissed and the department's inability to solve the Susan Cox Powell case. Winder says these issues had nothing to do with his decision not to seek re-election.
Those police challenges we had were part of the challenges that come across the desk every day as a mayor, and that's part of the thrill of the job, is problem solving and dealing with tough issues, and I'll miss that.
Winder says he's still considering his options when his term ends, and that includes running for higher office in the future. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
Birth rates among teen mothers have been dropping dramatically in recent years, especially here in Utah and in the Mountain West. Utah, Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, and Nevada saw teen birth rates drop by 30% over 5 years. The study's lead author calls the decline just amazing. Davis County Sheriff's deputies are investigating the deaths of two boys in West Point and have identified their older brother as a person of interest in the case. They've questioned a 15-year-old in connection with the deaths of his 4-year-old and 10-year-old brothers, whose bodies were found at their home Wednesday night. The boys had been left in the care of their older brother while their mother took her other children to a dance recital. Utah County Sheriff's deputies are trying to identify a man who died in a fall at Bridavell Falls. Sergeant Spencer Cannon says witnesses saw the man fall just after 8 p.m. on Wednesday. The drop was more than 200 feet. He had no identification, and they still don't know who he was. One of the co-founders of the Zango company accuses the management of using company money to fund vacations, buy country club memberships, and buy luxury goods. He makes those claims in a $3 million lawsuit. The management says they're not true, and they've asked Brian Davis to leave the firm, and they say he's just trying to get an inflated buyout.
Well, truth is something fragile and perishable in John le Carré's new novel, A Delicate Truth. Betsy Burton has this review.
When I finished John le Carré's latest book, I looked back at the title, thinking about the various ways those words could be read, that the truth is a delicate thing that's hard to hang on to, something that can be taken in more than one way, or that can easily be twisted out of recognizable shape, or that can be concealed or even be lost altogether. It's the latter meaning that seems to square with John le Carré's current philosophy. He's gone from believing that government, while often corrupt, in its best incarnation wants to protect its citizens, to a conviction that in the surveillance state that has been created in Great Britain, government works wholly at the behest of corporate interests, something that ultimately spells doom to freedom and to truth. The book begins with a diplomat serving as eyes and ears for a British minister of state during a clandestine operation meant to nab a terrorist. It's a joint operation between Brits and Americans. The Brits are military, the Americans mercenary. And it's this ill-conceived operation, the lies that provide cover for the resultant debacle, the truth that might or might not emerge, that are the fulcrum for all that happens in A Delicate Truth. The main players, at least those interested in truth, are the diplomat who provided eyes and ears for the minister, the soldier who led the British side of the operation, and the minister's private secretary, Toby Bell. Each is a fully drawn character. Each comes slowly to a version of truth and then almost unwillingly to the necessity for making that truth public. But the most fully drawn character of all is the government that hides the truth. And it's a frightening character indeed, all-seeing, all-powerful, and interested in nothing besides its own image and the bottom-line financials of those at its helm. Le Carré's spellbinding new novel is not a work of paranoia. He provides, in fact, an all-too-accurate picture of the post-9/11 world as it exists in Great Britain today. In the acknowledgments, two heartbreaking sentences provide evidence of this, one thanking the group Reprieve for, quote, instructing me in the British government's latest assaults on our liberty, whether implemented or planned, end quote, and the other thanking the diplomat who, quote, by his example, demonstrated the perils of speaking a delicate truth to power. That's a truth that should concern all of us, lest by giving up our liberties in our fight against terror, we lose the very thing we're fighting for, our freedom.
Betsy Burton is the proprietor of the King's English Bookstore. She reviewed A Delicate Truth by John le Carré.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, May 23rd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org. Follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.